passages for this morning come from Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4. Starting in chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, the author says, "Take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you may have an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partners of Christ, if only we hold our first confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion." And then moving ahead to chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. "Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joint from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen." This morning, we continue our sermon series from the book of Hebrews. Last week, we began this series by looking at the central theme that we found in chapters 1 and 2 of Hebrews. There, we found that the author demonstrated a staggering faith in Jesus Christ. Though his church was small and struggling, though so much in the world around him seemed to conflict with the notion, still the author was able to speak with profound confidence and such assurance that Jesus was and is God's Son, the source of all things, the sustainer of all things, the Savior of the world, and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. This week, we turn our attention to focus on the themes in the chapters of 3 and 4 from this dramatic letter. Here again, when we drill down to the matter at hand, the message of these chapters is relatively simple, while at the same time being profound and challenging. The author's point here is simply this: in the face of what seems like insurmountable difficulties, our challenge, our calling, our mission is to keep our faith in Jesus Christ, to keep our trust that God will see us through. The message is simply, keep your faith. As I said last week, we are not completely sure who wrote the book of Hebrews, nor do we know exactly to whom this letter was first written. But what is clear is that the audience of this letter was facing challenges and difficulties. And in the face of those difficulties, those early followers of Jesus were beginning to waver in their faith. Rather than trusting fully and wholeheartedly in Jesus as their guide and savior for this life, they were beginning to wonder if perhaps there was some better route to the security which they desired. The author of Hebrews writes to bolster the faith and the confidence of his audience. He is writing to call them back to faith. The author is writing to help them to quiet the voices of fear, to quiet the voices of worry, and rather than listening to those deceitful voices, to instead listen to and hear the voice and the living word of God. The author is writing to help his audience listen again to that living word which they had heard and which they can continue to hear, which is calling them to put and to keep their trust in Jesus as their savior and as the source of direction for their lives. Beginning in chapter 3, the author of Hebrews references a story from the Old Testament to make his case about faith. The author references the experience of God's people on the verge of the Jordan River as God's people were preparing to follow God's instructions to enter the promised land. In that moment, the people had been through a lot. They had been through a lot with God. For 40 years, they had relied on God for everything in their lives. Though there had been hardships and difficulties, moments of worry and fear and hunger and thirst and doubt along the way, God had always given the people what they needed. God was there to give them protection, provision, and direction. And God had promised to bring them through to the end. In the midst of that 40 years, God had shown up in the people's lives in dramatic ways. God had rescued the people from Egypt. God had sent them a leader in Moses. God had directed 10 plagues at the land of Egypt. God had parted the waters of the Red Sea. God had ushered the people out of slavery and brought them to Mount Sinai, where God met with the people, and they saw God's presence in a stormy cloud descended on the mountain peak, and they actually heard the voice of God booming like a trumpet from the top of that mountain. After they left Mount Sinai and entered the wilderness, God had continued to be with the people and to provide for them along the way. God was with them, before them, and among them. God was there to lead them in a pillar of cloud and fire as they traveled. And whenever they stopped and camped, God filled the tabernacle, dwelling in the midst of God's people. And God had given them provisions along the way, bread and meat, manna from heaven, and flocks of quail. God had directed the people, leading them like a shepherd to safe pastures and abundant waters. And if there was situations where there wasn't water, God miraculously brought forth streams to refresh the people's thirsts. Finally, after 40 years of following God's direction and relying on God's miraculous provision, after 40 years where the people must have learned that God was faithful and worthy of trust, the people found themselves on the verge of the Jordan River, ready to cross that watery threshold and enter the promised land. And unfortunately, the author of Hebrews helps us to remember, it was at that moment that the people's fears and worries overcame their faith. God's people, according to God's instructions, sent spies into the promised land to check things out. And when those spies returned, most of the spies reported that while the land was beautiful and abundant, the people of the land were like great giants before them, and the people of Israel were like grasshoppers. If they tried to enter the land, the spies believed, surely they would be squashed. And yet two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, gave a minority report, and they asked the people to trust in God. God's people in that moment were caught between two competing voices, the voices of their fears and the voice of God, the voice of trust and faith. The people's response, which we can read about in the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 14, was to turn away from the command of God. Rather than trusting the God who had been so faithful and trustworthy, rather than listening to the voice of God, the people listened to the voices of their fears. Rather than following God's direction, the people came up with their own plan, ridiculous as it was. Their plan was this. You can read about it in Numbers chapter 14. It's staggering. Their plan, rather than following God's direction to enter the promised land, their plan was to stone Moses to death and then turn back into the wilderness, to head back into Egypt, where they would submit themselves again to a slavery under Pharaoh. They would choose what seemed to them to be the more predictable life, even if that predictable life was a life as slaves. As we might expect, God's rage burned hot against the people for this lack of faith. And in response, God allowed God's people, in a sense, to get what they wanted. The people had chosen to listen to their fears, and so God allowed them to go back into the wilderness, where they wandered for 40 more years. It was a specifically allotted amount of time for that faithless generation to completely die off before God again ushered the company of God's people to the banks of the Jordan River and the threshold into the promised land. The author of Hebrews uses this story to dramatic effect, and I believe God speaks to us a good and yet a challenging word through this story and the words and the framing offered by the author of Hebrews in chapters 3 and 4. Like those gathered on the verge of Jordan, we too face an uncertain future. We know that God has been with us for the past 40 years and longer. We have confidence that God is with us now. And we know that God is calling us to go forward, but like the people of Israel standing on the banks of the Jordan River, we don't know for sure how things will turn out if we follow God's challenging calling. There are obstacles before us, and they might seem as tall as giants, And in our own estimation of ourselves, we might feel a little bit like grasshoppers. Like Israel in this moment, we have a lot of questions about the future. How will things go this year? Will we be able to bounce back fully from the pandemic? What is the future of our partnership with the Griggstown Church? Will our church be able to grow and flourish and continue? Perhaps too, in our personal lives of faith, there are similar quandaries before us as individuals or as families. Perhaps God has given you some direction in your life which calls you to move forward into a future where the details of how things will go remain foggy and uncertain. You know, or you sense that God is saying, place your next footfall here. And yet you are wondering, how will it go if I follow this God-given direction? In the face of these questions, we have to realize that there is a lot of uncertainty, and with uncertainty comes the voices of fear and worry. As a church, we are called to listen to God's direction. We are called to look for God as our provision, look from God for the provisions that we need, the daily bread and the streams of living water. God has promised to be with us, to protect us, to give us peace, even in the midst of trouble. And the challenge that we face is the challenge presented by the author of Hebrews. The question is, to what will we listen? Where will we attune our ears? Which voice within us will we give priority? Will we listen to the living and active word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and penetrating? Or will we listen instead to what the author describes as the deceitful voice of our fears? This morning, God reminds us of our challenging calling as Christians. This morning, through the words of Hebrews, we are reminded that there are times in our lives, as individuals and as a community of faith, where our calling is to faithfulness in God, to cross a threshold into a future that we cannot completely predict or control. It is a future that God has prepared, a future that God has promised to enter with us, and yet it is a future that is full of unanswerable questions. The alternative route, that lay before us is to try to wrestle control away from God and to try to return instead to a life which we left behind when we put our faith in God. The alternative, as with the people of Israel, is to turn back into the wilderness, to try and return to Egypt, where we would have predictability, but where we would be slaves to our fears. This morning, God reminds us of God's grace and God's goodness to us in this, that God's word of direction, God's comforting presence, God's sustaining power, they are, as the author of Hebrews says, living and active. They aren't something that is locked in the past. They are here, living and active. God's word continues to speak to us. God's word continues to call us forward, directing our steps. God's presence is with us to still the storms and give us peace in our times of fear and worry. And God's provision is enough. And so as we look ahead to an uncertain future, as we quake before the giants before us, let us together, aided by God's spirit of grace and power, let us do our best to quiet the deceitful voices of our fears as we seek to keep our faith in Christ, our Savior. Amen.